Okay, good morning, folks. So welcome to day two of our SharePoint conference. And I'm just going to figure out the slides. Okay, so my name's Ruben Krippner. I'm the Director of Technical Product Management for Dynamics CRM. I'll be accompanied by David Pennington, who's a Director of Product Marketing. Before we begin, I'd like to personally thank the network engineers of Mandalay Bay. We were going to have a lot of real live demos. We've now got a lot of real live click-throughs, but you'll get the understanding in terms of the capabilities that that we bring to the table. In terms of the agenda, we're going to focus on, first of all, the introduction, a bit of background in terms of social for business, why it's relevant, why you should care about it, but also go through what's the business opportunity. We're then going to get into the actual business social scenarios, followed by social technology from Microsoft, so how we can actually support some of your social objectives, whether it be for internal or external communities. And then David's going to take over with how do you get started, but most importantly, a case study in terms of how Microsoft Dynamics, our business division at Microsoft, uses social for our business strategy. So, quick show of hands, how many of you either use or know about Dynamics CRM today? Fantastic. Excellent. Good to see. So I'm going to breeze through this. Dynamics CRM obviously is the most capable, broader set of CRM capabilities in the market today. We have capabilities across sales, service, and marketing. We also have an extensive framework to go and build out all kinds of different line of business or extended CRM applications. We offer connectivity to CRM through PC, browser, and mobile devices. And from a framework perspective, we have extensive capabilities in business process management, reporting and BI, relationship, data model configuration. We also offer a cloud or an on-premise deployment option, so we have a lot of flexibility from that perspective. A few things, and this sort of just sets the scene in terms of the key trends we're seeing in the customer relationship management space right now. What we call technology megatrends. So if we look at mobility, obviously, people bringing multiple devices, people wanting to use their personal devices in the workforce, the consumerization of IT. Big data, no question, from a big data and analytics perspective. Recent studies have said that the total volume of data worldwide is growing at a staggering rate of 49% per year and accelerating. So the good news is, from both a mobility and a big data and analytics perspective, Microsoft's making significant investments. Cloud computing, obviously, in terms of cloud services, social included, is certainly a new trend that we're seeing and something that is becoming more pervasive. In fact, from a CRM perspective, 60% of our new customers are coming in through our cloud offering, Dynamics CRM Online. But the topic for today is around social. And there's no question from a pervasiveness perspective in terms of how many of us use social networks for both personal and professional connections, it's becoming an unstoppable force. And the reason for that is several-fold. This is a particular quote I like from Clara Shih. She wrote a book called The Facebook Era and basically talks about the social web makes the web feel human again. It allows us to express our thoughts, vent our frustrations, offer praise, answer other people's questions, make recommendations on the products and services, or in David's case, through Facebook, make his life look more interesting than it actually is. But so that's why everyone's going social. The other interesting phenomenon is around this is different technologies over the course of the last sort of 50 to 75 years, and it's how a technology reaches critical mass. And so radio took 38 years to reach 50 million total users. Television was slightly faster, but still an extensive, you know, still took a large amount of time to reach that milestone. The internet was fairly rapid, 4 years to reach 50 million users. And then if we look at Facebook, they hit 100 million users in less than 9 months. So it talks about, and this isn't just about a business-to-consumer model. This is about business people connecting with other business people, discussing open roles, discussing products and services, discussing industry trends, pointing people at new information, marketing announcements, and so on. So there's no question that Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn are becoming just woven into the fabric of our day-to-day life. And what we want to show is, one, how we can use these concepts for business benefit, as well as some of the things that Microsoft bring to the table in helping do that. The other thing that I always like to start also on is, there's a lot of intellectual hype about social and what social is. The reality is, social from even a basic dictionary definition is just how society is organized, how we communicate, how we naturally gravitate into groups, how we behave and interact within those groups. And it's our sense of living as part of a community rather than living alone, unless you're the Unabomber, where you decide to live in a shed in the wilderness of Denver. But the reality is that social is just how people integrate. The reality is that social technologies have come to the fore. It's still all about communities. It's still all about our need to connect with other people, to reconnect with old school friends, to join professional groups on LinkedIn with people with common interests. We're all part of a community here. So, you know, we're all part of an interest group around SharePoint. So communities is still very much part of it. It's just that the technology now is, one, global, and two, real-time. Social is just how things get done. And this is the way that I like to characterize it, and the challenge for every business is that just because of the advent of the phone, the telephone, did not stop face-to-face meetings. Just because of the advent of the email did not stop telephone calls. Just because of the advent of video conferencing didn't stop us meeting face-to-face, because there's different ways of engaging, there's different ways on collaborating and communicating that mean that the real secret to a social strategy is how you actually blend all of these things together. How many folks in the room have adopted Yammer? Okay. So certainly our experience from a Microsoft perspective is the floodgates obviously opened up once Yammer was acquired by Microsoft. And many of our business groups are still kind of struggling in terms of how do we fit that into the mix. We've got a guy in our business group, I'm not going to name him, but his name's Brian, and he constantly posts messages on Yammer to the point where I get more email notifications from Yammer from a post from Brian Galicia than my entire email workload, which I still have to work through. So the thing about social is, one, it's just how things get done, and we've got a bunch of different tools that we can use. But the strategy is how you bring that into a seamless experience so that people don't get overwhelmed by it. And this is the concept around it's evolving. So the technologies have added to it, the numbers of channels, of ways that you can communicate with customers or with each other, the way that customers are more informed and the way that they expect to interact with you now have fundamentally changed. So the traditional enterprise model, if we look just at the, you know, typically an organization has three functions, or one of three functions if not all: marketing, sales, and service, which is what our customer relationship management solution is all about. Marketing are going to work through traditionally channels like web, email, phone, and face-to-face in terms of events. Sales is going to work with their prospects or leads through email, phone, face-to-face meetings. And service is going to use as many different channels to, you know, integrate and work with customers to solve their problems. But the world we're moving to because of social networks is that we have this connected customers. In fact, most customers know more about our products and services than we do. Certainly for those that are Microsoft partners, we typically find that because our partners are implementing and working with our solutions every day, They've got a level of knowledge and depth of understanding in terms of all of the nuances about CRM or SharePoint or what have you. They know more than probably the average support engineer. So, and also from a consumer perspective, I don't know about you, but if I go on to Amazon, if I'm looking at several products, I look at the ones that have, one, the highest star rating, and two, the highest number of reviews that don't have spelling or grammatical errors, which means typically the person was smart enough to be able to write the review, and I'll respect that. From a connected enterprise perspective, again, as we move to a new generation in the workforce and people who've grown up with constant connectivity, grown up with tools around the internet and particularly social networking, have an expectation that when they walk into their worksite, one, they can bring the device that they choose, and two, they're going to have simple tools to be able to communicate. And this is where social networks inside the firewall, so SharePoint's investments in 2013, Yammer and other tools, mean that we're looking at breaking down the silos. One of the stories I really like is from Jeff Tepper, the VP of Engineering for SharePoint. And they have used social networks internally to get feedback around test cycles on SharePoint. And so they found that they were getting more of a voice from the organization from the most obscure sort of test engineer in the far-flung regions of the world who was giving their insight and feeling as though they were really part of the solution and feeling they were a big part of the organization and able to collaborate and communicate with Jeff Tepper at the VP level. So it really flattens the organization. But what it means is you get it right and you start to break down the silos that we traditionally have had within organizations. And then, of course, from a customer and an employee perspective, there's a myriad of more channels to engage with, a multitude of more devices to work with. So it's a big, from a customer service perspective, there was a recent study in the UK where basically one in four social customers, that is, customers who expect to be able to engage with an organization via social networks, expects a response within an hour if they tweet about an issue or a complaint or what have you. So it's one of those things where if you're in that business to consumer world, you can't ignore it. If you're looking to make it simpler for your employees to collaborate and communicate, and then broadening that so that you're including customers in your collaboration processes, that's the new world and that's what social has brought to organizations. So if we look at the business opportunities, let's look at just internal social collaboration. I mentioned the example before about SharePoint and the ability to use that social capabilities. How many were in Mark Stone's session yesterday around sort of the overview of social? Not too many. Okay. Hopefully I'll do justice to what he was talking about. But it's about soliciting feedback and using that, using social networks internally to make it easier. Making it easier to collaborate, to ask questions, to find expertise. And also, though, to follow what's important to me. So one of the things I'm going to do is I'm going to stop following Brian at Microsoft so that I can get some peace and quiet on my day job. It's also about broadcasting news and achievements, and I'll show that in the CRM context in a little bit, where we are able to use social as a way to get important information out to the organization, broadcasting achievements, broadcasting news, that make it simpler to consume. Ask questions and find expertise, obviously. Discussions around, you can really crowdsource to drive innovation, democratize the way that you go and build solutions and the types of services that you offer by soliciting feedback and getting new ideas through simple social networking. And then from the analysis perspective, it's understanding and being able to identify, well, what are the key topics that my internal communities are talking about? Are they making complaints about healthcare costs or their remuneration or other policies and procedures? It's a great way to tap into and identify particular trends. Let's transition to the external communities, and this is where we're starting to get into social listening. So the ability to understand sentiment. There's no question now, things like new releases of movies can be sunk within the first 24 hours by either the huge praise that they get through the fanboys on social networks or the shredding of a particular movie or new release. So these things can really accelerate either the positive or negative sentiment about a brand, a product, those sorts of things. It's an additional service channel. So people are now expecting to be able to tweet, hey, Delta, I think David's got an example that he can talk about in a little bit, where basically he made a complaint about something to do with Delta and they were able to respond. And more people, myself included, are starting to challenge organizations to see if they're actually listening. Now, the challenge for an organization is to go, if Ruben Krippner, who's got 4 followers, complains, did it really happen? If Ashton Kutcher complains and he's got 2 million, don't ask me why he's got 2 million followers, he's a waste of oxygen. But the reality is that people are going to, not really, I hope I don't get libel or slander for making statements about Ashton's ability. But the reality is he's now wields influence. When he's got millions of people and he makes a statement about a product or service or a positive or negative experience, it can influence those followers. It's also about broadcasting news and offers. Hey, there's a new campaign. We use it all the time in Dynamics and Microsoft to talk about Surface and Windows 8 and new releases of Dynamics CRM and SharePoint and so on. It's a great way and a free way to actually go and broadcast. But there's challenges around that, and we'll talk about that as well. The big one is around knowledge harvesting. So like I said, in communities, forums, blogs, social, people are answering other people's questions all the time. The reality is what you need to do is be able to listen in and identify who's making the biggest contribution and either work with those people, make them more loyal, make them feel valued, and continue to incentivize them to continue their job on helping deflect service questions coming into the organization. Democratizing R&D, so the idea around setting up a feedback loop where people can make suggestions around what they do and allowing people to vote those concepts up or down. We use it internally at Microsoft for a number of areas where we can actually put an idea out or let our community put an idea out and then let people vote those things up and down. And then, of course, on across understanding sentiment, the ability to understand the impact of news and announcements, the ability to identify subject matter experts in your external communities, you need analysis tools to be able to measure that. And David's going to take you through a tool that we provide free of charge to our customers to be able to make use of that. So what I wanted to do was just go through from a technology perspective, not in a huge level of depth, but go into the technology options that Microsoft bring to the table and how that can fit into a CRM, a social CRM strategy. So first of all, from a pure technology perspective, we like to look at the Microsoft stack, as we refer to it, or business platform, a number of ways. And Dynamics gets to play and use all of these in due course. So from a Windows or Azure platform perspective, we've got the ability to obviously run our application. But Windows Azure, through the data market, is starting to bring in some amazing new data feeds that organizations can take advantage of, and we'll show you that in action in just a second. From a data platform perspective, obviously SQL Server and SQL Server 2012 is bringing new capabilities around performance of storage, the ability to do analysis on big data. And Power Pivot for Excel, which is something that David's going to show you, really gives you the ability to slice and dice in a very intuitive and simple fashion huge amounts of data and really drill into social data sources. And then from an application perspective, right across the board, you've seen that Microsoft is making significant investments in social through SharePoint 2013, through Yammer, and through that unified roadmap as we move forward, where Yammer becomes the social layer for a number of products. Microsoft Office is surfacing those capabilities as well and bringing social into the experience around Outlook, amongst other things. And then Skype and Link to be able to make it simple to find people, to determine and start instant messages or video conferences, really opens up communities internally and socializes the enterprise. And then all of that is underpinned by .NET. And then finally, Dynamic CRM, certainly we get to, and I like to characterize Dynamic CRM as Microsoft's biggest system integrator. We get to build on top of the huge amount of investment and the huge amount of innovation that Microsoft are delivering to surface that through CRM functionality across PC, phones, and tablets. So a few key areas of social technology investment. The first one, how many of you guys are aware of Fuse Labs? Okay, you definitely should go and check it out. In the useful resources we give you where you can locate that, I'll give you a demo of that capability. But Fuse Labs is a research labs. It's part of Microsoft Research that brings in what we call future social experiences. So it gives all kinds of capabilities to do social analysis across Twitter and Facebook and other sources, and innovatively presents that and allows you to derive trends. And many of the investments that they make or the solutions they come up with end up appearing within Microsoft products. Yammer, as we've talked about before, a billion-dollar acquisition from Microsoft and brings what we call the social layer. I'll talk about that in just a second. SharePoint 2013 takes the social story forward in terms of the ability to go and follow documents and participate in communities, all built into this infrastructure that allows you to collaborate around documents and document-centric processes while still preserving link to be able to find and discuss issues as they arise. And what David's going to show you is a solution called Analytics for Twitter, which is an Excel-based solution that enables you to do all kinds of analysis on Twitter feeds. So how can Microsoft help? And this is where we get into a bunch of real live click-through demos for you. The first one is the how many are aware of the Outlook Social Connector? Okay, so a few. If you haven't, definitely go and check this out. In Office 2010, and it's also going to be available in Outlook 2013, you'll see across the bottom here in the what we call the people pane, we've got information relating to, in this case, Kim, who's the member of that particular email. So we can get insight from Facebook, from LinkedIn, about the types of things that they're doing. Now, whether or not, you know, Kim went and ate dinner at C-Star possibly is not necessarily relevant to a business context. But when you're bringing up the fact that Kim within LinkedIn has notified that she's changed roles and has moved to another organization, that could be incredibly relevant. And you find out that news contextually just by being in Outlook and receiving an email from Kim. So there's a lot of things that you can derive, or you can find out that Kim actually likes C-Star, so if you're looking to butter her up to sell more software or services, take her to C-Star, she'll probably sign the contract. But the idea is that you bring in this social context. You've also got down here, you've got the ability to filter that by email, by document attachments, appointments, and so on. So it's a great way on segmenting and understanding exactly what's going on as far as the relationship with Kim's concerned. Then you look at the dynamic CRM pane, where you've actually got the ability to track that email against a particular contact, account, opportunity, what have you. So between the two, you've got context to where Kim fits in from a CRM perspective and everything that's going on with Kim. And you've also got the context about how her social world and what's going on as far as that's concerned. So it's a great fusing of the two to give that 360-degree view, all from within your inbox. The great news also is the Outlook Social Connector is free of charge. We give the link on it in this particular presentation, so download it. But it's free of charge. All I'd say is install it, put in your credentials for LinkedIn or Facebook or what have you, and it's amazing the types of insights you start to see about the people that you're interacting with via email. The other one is obviously SharePoint, and this is the investments we're bringing around social. So the ability to bring in microblogging constructs, simplistic ways on collaborating and asking questions and finding expertise, finding out what people are talking about, being able to follow people and documents and those sorts of things. And where it becomes very interesting is in the link between CRM and SharePoint. CRM allows you to set up contextual document libraries in SharePoint. So SharePoint users are able to go and follow those documents. They might not be interested or have access to anything else in CRM, but they might be a legal representative who's participating in the process of building a sales proposal. They might have a review function within a particular slide deck or what have you. So when you bring into the context that SharePoint users now can participate in CRM processes and really be part of that conversation, and then when you start to look at our longer term roadmap of all of this being platformed on Yammer as the social layer, then it really starts to get interesting. So from a CRM perspective, I have the context around who the person is, the opportunity that I'm working on, all of that information, and I can drive my document management requirements directly from CRM. If I'm a participant in that process but I don't need all of CRM, SharePoint still gives me all of that social. And then over the course of time, it'll all be one common infrastructure as far as microblogging and the ability to follow things and so on. In fact, we're making some key investments that are coming out in the December timeframe around CRM. So Yammer, from a social network, an enterprise social network capability, has a huge future as far as Microsoft's concerned. It's a big bet. So on the left-hand side, you'll see that Yammer is going to remain as a standalone service. So people can subscribe to it. It has a very viral adoption rate where people are able to participate in conversations and quickly find the value and easily sign up for that virally within the organization. SharePoint is also going to use Yammer as the social layer over the course of time. Office 365 the same, and Dynamics CRM starting in December will embed this social layer directly in our CRM experience, and I'll talk about that in just a second. So the social layer means that Yammer Enterprise brings the social networking construct, the ability to follow people, form my own communities and networks, microblogging to make it simple to ask questions and find expertise, and it offers basic document collaboration around I can attach documents, videos, what have you, and people can then download that, work with it, offer their comments, and so on. Now, it doesn't offer the full richness that SharePoint offers at this point in time with version control and information rights management and so on, but it's certainly an option starting off immediately. So what does it mean from a CRM perspective? So first of all, for those that haven't seen roadmap presentations and more than happy to take people through at the conclusion, on the left-hand side, you've got what we're delivering as one of the new user experience options for CRM when we come to the December 2012 update. And this gives you the concept of, one, visualizing of a process, but you'll see in the middle there the Yammer conversation layer or social layer. And what that means is that a user can go and post information, participate in conversations directly relating to an opportunity or a case or account or a contact. And that's seamless within the CRM experience. In fact, when I'm in the opportunity CRM upgrade, I just see the conversations relating to that. Now, if I go into my Yammer client, which I can access on a browser, a desktop, a mobile device, I can still get that social feed of everything that I care about, the CRM records that I follow, the people that I follow, the documents that I follow. So I'm able to do that whether I'm in Yammer, whether I'm in CRM, and it's all contextual. I can obviously also do all of the typical things of post and like and share. But one of the things that we're also doing, and this is where social becomes very interesting inside the firewall, is you can use it as what I term a message bus. So you are able to configure rules that say, if an opportunity closes, then post a message out to the Yammer activity stream, which means that the salesperson who closes the deal doesn't have to write the win wire to self-promote themselves. The system is doing those things for them, and it draws people into the system. How do you drive adoption for salespeople, and excuse salespeople in the audience, but you cater for their ego? So at the end of the day, you want to acknowledge. Everyone wants their achievements acknowledged. So social is a great way to broadcast that out. So if David puts out a new document that I wrote, but he puts his picture on it and gets all the credit, the social system posts that out. So not only does David's boss see that, but David's boss's boss also sees that. So it's an immensely powerful way to go and get information out and really celebrate achievements, if nothing else. I mentioned the desktop browser and device choice, so that's you can access it through iPhone, iPad, Android phone and tablet, Windows phone. All of those clients exist through different browsers, and they also have a desktop client. So we use the scenario term, keeping on top of the situation. For a salesperson out on the road, I'm able to, because I'm subscribing to what I care about, I get that feed of information relating. So if David's finished a sales proposal for me or finished his section, I get that acknowledgement within my social feed, and I can be accessing that from anywhere. In fact, I can collaborate and go, David, I've just had a look from my mobile device where I'm accessing the document. I can post back some suggestions. And it's really simple collaboration. Now, that could be in the context of a CRM process, or it might not be. The thing that I'm really excited about, though, is the global search capabilities. And I've got some screenshots of that in just a second. So if we have a look, this is the typical experience. So this is the new UX. It's an opt-in experience, by the way, so you don't have to adopt this, but we have a feeling that you'll want to. The idea is across the top, we've got our process bar that articulates, in this case, a sales process of four stages: qualify, develop, propose, and close. And within each stage, there are a number of steps or suggested actions. So that's one aspect of it. But you'll see in the center, we've got the Yammer feed. And so Paul has, within the CRM experience, posted a status saying, anyone have data on salesforce.com? I need help with a CRM sort of upgrade deal. So the user can post on that. What it does behind the scenes is CRM automatically goes and creates a Yammer page for this object, for this opportunity, that then means that people in Yammer, people in CRM, people in any other sort of Yammer experience are able to see what's going on in the context of this opportunity. And it means a user like Mary Smith, who responds maybe via the Twitter client, maybe via the Twitter mobile client, it appears in the threaded conversation around that. So Mary Smith is able to participate in a CRM scenario without needing to go into CRM. And in this case, she's managed to attach a document that may be very useful in the context of this particular opportunity. So very, very powerful, and we get a lot of these capabilities essentially for free by harnessing Yammer as our social layer. This is the Yammer experience. So you can see that that conversation that you saw in the context of that opportunity now appears within my social feed of the things that I've followed and the things that I care about. So that means that a Yammer user is able to participate, as I said before. And this is the auto post concept that I talked about earlier. So on the right-hand side, the activity stream is kind of like, for those that use Facebook, the ticker of news that's going on. David liked my post, he commented on my photo, he's checked in at the Mandalay Bay Resort. All of those things. Now, this is all in the context of CRM. So all of the CRM, and you can configure those rules, by the way. So you can say, I only want to broadcast when an opportunity closes or a case is resolved or a high priority case is open. So there's lots of new opportunities as far as that. Now, this is this global search concept that I was talking about that, again, Yammer just brings to the table. So I can type in a keyword search of CRM. It will bring up information relating to the people that have that in their skill group or part of those networks. It will show any of the groups where that keyword is a member of. It will bring back references to documents that reference CRM. And down the bottom, you'll see it also references that CRM opportunity. And so a user that has access to that opportunity can drill in directly from that experience. So it's an incredibly powerful way to search across all of the information. And when you consider that Yammer done properly, and we're using this internally, my team who runs the technical readiness for our partner channel is using Yammer. We're actually saying anyone who's got questions, we're going to push those people to Yammer so that everyone benefits from the questions and the answers that we give, and we're fostering that sense of community. It's the same here where we're able to start bringing together knowledge plus references to what's going on with customers that makes it very, very powerful. So what I wanted to do was now run through a couple of click-throughs of what is live software. I can absolutely guarantee it because I took the image from live software. So I'm just going to log into the demo machine. And we'll switch across to the machine. So in this context, what we're going to show is a few capabilities around social enrichment and some of the capabilities that that brings. So our scenario is that Terry Adams is a salesperson and he's responsible for an account Boeing. So what he wants to be able to do is obviously drill into that account. Now we've got capabilities to bring in Twitter information. For anyone who can translate that second one, you get a free Surface device. But the idea is that you can bring in Twitter information. It's contextual within the account form. And this is a free control that Twitter actually provides. So it's really easy to drop into the user experience. We can also go into what we call social insights. So this is where we use or are able to bring to the fore some of our partner solutions, such as this one from a company called InsideView. But they use social feeds from Microsoft, from the Azure data market, so that if I'm working with the account Boeing, I can look at all of the key people related to that particular account. And in fact, I can even sync that those contacts with CRM. I can find out what the company is talking about through RSS feeds and their blogs and various other aspects like that. I can get into the corporate structure of this particular account. And all of this is publicly available data. Again, much of this is surfaced through the Azure data market. And then finally, I can look at who their key competitors. So if you look at the context around social enrichment and having that social data overlaid on top of an account or a contact, CRM's actually just making me smarter. It's making me more informed. I could find this information in a bunch of different places, but the value is that I'm seeing this in the context of a CRM record. Another thing that I talked about earlier is the concept of what Fuse Labs are bringing to the table. And they've got a fantastic solution called Montage. And again, this is free of charge. So the idea is that I can get this newspaper view, this mashup of social information, photos from Flickr, Twitter posts, blog posts, news feeds, those sorts of things. And in fact, I can actually go in and pick different layouts. I can configure my own layout. So in this particular case, I like the layout of this one. I've got the Twitter feed. I've got latest news and other information. And I've got all other, you know, really relevant information. So if you look at, we've got the ability to enrich social. We've got from social sources. We've got the ability to do research and have a better understanding about accounts and contacts and so forth. This is incredibly powerful. And with the exception of InsideView, which is obviously a commercial solution, everything that you see here is available free of charge. And we've got various blog posts and other information about how to drop that into your deployment. So the other thing that we've also got, and this is where we're starting to bring in the concept of what will be Yammer. So we have a construct today called Activity Feeds. You can take advantage of this today. But this experience will be what we're driving through Yammer. So the idea is that I'm working in Boeing. What I'm interested in is I'm looking for aerospace skills because I need to do a proposal for Boeing. And so I can type that in. So people who are following me, following this account, or just generally interested in Boeing will see this post on their mobile device, in their CRM system, and so forth. And as they go, they can actually go and reply to that information. And it's a really simple way to find expertise. On top of that, I can also, as I move forward, I can use embedded link capabilities to find out whether that person's online, offline, in a meeting, and start conversations. So maybe I want to have a chat to Mark about really what his availability is or what he can bring to the table. So it's very, very powerful in terms of those capabilities. The other thing that I wanted to show was a vision in terms of where we're heading from a CRM perspective and how social plays into a Windows 8 experience. So we're bringing what you're about to see to market in the Q2 timeframe of calendar year 2013, so within the next sort of 6 to 7 months. And the idea is that I've got obviously all of my personal and my professional information. I can see the fact that it's raining and cloudy in Bellevue again. I can drill into my productivity applications. I can, after I've spent time with the Mandalay Bay Network folks, I can find out what cocktail I want to make to drown my sorrows. But we've got this concept of a business hub. I've got information relating to me as a salesperson. So as I drill into this, and again, this is optimized for touch and gesture-based devices, I've got information relating to my pipeline, I've got key activities that I need to make, accounts that I manage, so on and so forth. And as I touch in, so on the left-hand side, on the what's new, this is really giving me that summary view of what's going on from a social standpoint. So summarizing the Yammer conversations that are going on. So my manager's posted, I've got new recent posts, I've got updates to certain pieces of information. All of that's made available to me in a very simple consumable fashion. And then when you drill into, in this case, a sales opportunity, here's my social construct. So again, the same thing presented, just the ability to actually go and say, you know, looking for help, et cetera, et cetera. And so that now appears within the social feed. Now, I'm not going to go through sort of everything within the system, but the idea is that it visualizes my sales process, I can construct my team, so on and so forth, and we've still got that familiar link in with SharePoint documents, which I can then collaborate around socially. So there's a lot of really cool capabilities that just simplify the experience. Let me talk about briefly how social or Yammer is acting as our message bus. So I might make a phone call off to Justin Harrison, which can be triggered by Skype or Link. I can be taking notes while I'm actually on the call, still interacting with the rest of my system, post that, hang up the call, and you'll see that the social feed is actually recorded the fact that that phone call has happened. So CRM or social, internal social, is becoming an audit of what's going on. People can follow that and understand everything that's going on with that particular opportunity. So some great capabilities available both today as well as sort of where we're heading in the future. What I wanted to do was briefly talk about how do you get started with a social strategy. And like anything else, like a SharePoint implementation, like a CRM implementation, like anything, you've got to define and prioritize what success looks like. But most importantly, you have to get executive sponsorship. At the end of the day, unless you've got someone backing it and being the champion of a social strategy, you are doomed to fail. Are you going to focus on internal communities or external communities? Is your objective about making it simpler for your employees to collaborate, or are you looking to understand what your stakeholders and your customers are saying about you? But most importantly, start simple. It's not a race. You start simple and you build from there. Plan your approach. The thing I talk about when it comes to social listening particularly, 15 years ago, the equivalent would be, I'm going to go and set up a web portal and I'm going to get people to go and register their service cases. And if I didn't have the organization aligned behind it and no one responded, I'm doing more damage than good. A social customer is going to sound you out. A social customer is going to challenge you to respond. So it's not simply enough about saying, I've set up a Twitter account and a Facebook page and I'm social, baby. The reality is people could then go and say, well, I'm going to interact with Contoso or whoever else. If you don't respond and there's not fresh content, you're not participating in the conversation, people will rapidly lose interest and view you as fake. You have to be authentic. But most importantly, you have to assign ownership. You have to rally the troops around it. If you're going to use social as a service channel, make sure that the processes are in place, the service level agreements, the escalations, the response plans, if you find that there are issues cropping up. It's a great way to listen and understand and be an early warning, but unless you've got the resource alignment, it's never going to work. And then, again, points back to the executive sponsorship. You need that in place to be successful. And then what's your success criteria? Are you going to measure it based on the adoption of Yammer or SharePoint, the participation of unique numbers of people in conversations? Are you going to base it around the number of followers on Facebook or Twitter that you manage to establish, or the brand sentiment? You have to determine your success criteria and metrics. And then the most important thing is, this is still new. Social is still going to evolve. There's plenty of social networks that are now dwindling and not relevant anymore. Facebook itself is facing huge challenges now about how they commercialize and make money. It would keep Zuckerberg up at night about how he's going to continue to generate revenue. But the challenge is that social is going to constantly evolve. People's behaviors and patterns about how they want to use it and the types of processes they're going to communicate and collaborate on are going to change constantly. So you need to review and refine your plan accordingly. So what I'm going to do now is hand over to David Pennington to see us home. He's going to cover off a case study on how our business, Microsoft Dynamics, uses social for business benefit. So I'll hand over to David. Thanks.
Great. Thanks, Ruben. And I unfortunately have the great pleasure to work with a fine gentleman like Ruben, who I was really excited a couple weeks ago when he came to me. And you know, I knew that we were having some, you know, a presence here at SharePoint talking about social. He came to me and said, you know, David, I'd love for you to go through and talk about and look at you as a case study and talk about how we leverage social to amplify our news around marketing. But now I realize it just puts me as a target of all of his jokes. So I'll be a lot more reluctant next time I agree to do this. No, actually, I'm really excited to be here. I think we've done a lot of interesting things in Microsoft Dynamics relative to marketing. I'm not going to go too deep into actually how we leverage our CRM tools necessarily, but I'm going to walk you through some of the steps that we took to get more social. We had some dramatic changes within our business. In January of 2011, we launched worldwide our online service. It was a huge launch for us, and we spent a lot of money and time. It was a software release that was 3 years in the process. And we really had to fundamentally change as a business. As you can see by Ruben's earlier slides, the rapid change of innovation and social tools were really pushing us to get a more rapid release cadence. Right? We could no longer wait for 2 and 3 years. Our customers were pushing for more innovation faster. And so not only did it change the way that we build software with R&D, but it also changed the way that we go to market and how we market our solutions. And so we had to take a much more regimented process to get through this rapid cadence, because you'd plan for these launches every 3 years, you'd spend millions of dollars potentially in launching a product, service, or campaign. Now we have to do things in a rapid fashion where we're working on 3 launches all at the same time. They release every 6 months, and in some cases could even release in a more rapid fashion than 6 months. So we don't have the dollars to be able to do big road shows or big campaigns where we do things in person or we have celebrities out toting our products. It's really more about how do we build our momentum, how do we get our news out, and we continue to build on that narrative. And so what was critically important for us is the challenge of how do we reach the desired audiences, and how do we leverage a single voice and story to get that news out. And you know, we have a vast partner network of 4,000 to 5,000 CRM partners. We have our global field audience and many partners around the world that help carry our message. And oftentimes in the past, we didn't always do a great job in the CRM team about packaging that message up and getting that to them in a timely fashion, while also reaching out to our analysts, our press, and other social influencers. Social influencers for us became critically important. In the past, we'd identify kind of the tier 1, tier 2 analyst firms. But now there's this whole group of people out there that became very important, who were these social influencers that had blogs, that had 10,000 followers that covered the CRM space. So in the past, we hadn't been really set up to be able to support this whole new group of folks. But in many cases today, they're more important than even some of the big analyst firms. So we had to now identify who these folks were and who had influence, and how do we reach out and engage them with a team that's not necessarily growing, but how do we reach it with the resources that we have? I talked about manage our story and message a little bit, but one of the things that I learned early on, and it was a mistake that I had made, when we first decided to go all digital, we weren't going to do your typical launch events, we weren't going to do just a big roadshow, we were going to just go all digital. One of the things that we committed to the market was 60 to 90 days out, we would provide what we call our release preview guide, which tells our partners, our customers in the field, what's coming in the next release. And we developed that, we sent it out to our field, our partners, but we didn't really use that as our event to launch our products. Well, what happened was social influencers and press picked it up, and they began to write the story before we ever announced anything. And what happened there is we lost control of our message. We didn't have the impact that we truly could have had had we coordinated these events appropriately. So from this point forward, in our next few releases, what we did was we identified that point in time that we would release our release preview guide along with our press release, along with a blog announcement. And we have a blog called CRM Connection, which we launch all news. And we're now educating our analysts, our press, our partners that anything that we launch, we will hit our blog first. And then they now subscribe to that via RSS feeds. So as soon as we hit news, it even hits it before the newswire. It hits our CRM Connection blog, which our team manages. So that was a key step that we took to establish that voice and that platform and that soapbox for us to tell our story. The second thing is we had to make sure that we were regimented about meeting with those social influencers. The first rapid cadence release that we had, we reached out to about 15 of the social influencers that cover our space. We got so much attention from other influencers that in the second release, we had over 85 social media influencers that we put under embargo and NDA. And then we do that about 3 days before release. And then the day that we go live, all their stories hit hit their blogs and various other communities. And then our analysts and press, we give them a little bit more time in advance and put them under embargo. We provide them sheets that give them messages on you know, what the release means from our perspective. And the results from that is if it's coordinated, if it's before the event, you get them to tell your story versus them creating their own story. And then we had to have a way to measure our reach and our impact. You know, for the first release, it was very difficult to identify what benchmarks were good, how many views were good, how many views of our videos or our blogs. We didn't have any historical reference for that. So the first time that you implement such strategies, it can be a little bit challenging to identify what you're trying to accomplish. But once you have a benchmark moving forward, you can identify areas that you can improve on and adapt and change, as Ruben mentioned before. So I'll talk a little bit more about that. And then as, you know, marketing departments all up, and that's the function I'm in a pure marketing function, you know, we constantly need to analyze. When you spend, you know, whether it's hundreds of thousands, whatever scale of your business, or millions on your campaigns or your marketing programs, what's critically important is that once the news goes out, that you measure and respond what's going on real time. Because if you wait a month and you realize that you just invested $500,000 in a message that's not responding in a certain market, and you don't fix that, that's a sunk cost, right? So it's you absolutely, and there's ways today, and I'll show you in a little bit what tools that I use, and they're free tools today, and Analytics for Twitter is a great tool, and I'll walk you through that in just a moment. But also is measuring what people are saying within these communities so that you can respond. The other thing I'll mention, I'm not going to get deep into service and sales, but it's critically important that as you look to drive your marketing programs, that you break down the silos that exist between sales and service. Because in a social world and with all these vast communities now, whose role is it anymore if a customer has a question based on a marketing campaign? Is it services? Are they responsible for picking it up? Is it marketing? Is it sales? So it's important that the sites that you drive attention to, whether they're prospects, they're existing customers, that there's a call to action and there's somebody that's able to respond. Okay, so the first step that we took in the first rapid cadence releases, we set up a new blog post, as I mentioned. You can actually see this right here. This is our CRM Connection blog. And as Ruben mentioned, I do like shameless self-promotion, so he always mentions that my picture's everywhere. Anyway, so this is our blog that we point people to and that subscribe to RSS feeds. And this is where we tell our story. And everything links from here back to our website, which is a property that we own. This is CRM.dynamics.com. This is where our service lives. And then this is, you know, there's other assets here. This is where our press release, this is our YouTube page, this is our Facebook page. So on the date that we launch, all of the sites are coordinated. We have for our Facebook page, it's typically where our partners and our existing customers interact. The community up here, this is not only where our blog is, but it's also where our communities sit. So these are existing customers, these are prospects, these are partners. There's hundreds of thousands of registered members of that community today. And there's CRM versions of it. There's also All Up Dynamics, so ERP folks also can communicate. This is where you can find best practices. Existing customers can find support there. But when we do launch a campaign or a new release, everything hits all of the properties at once. And they each have a call to action, and they each have a purpose for the audience. So once you develop the properties and the assets that you want to drive, it's important that we analyze, adapt, and engage. So here, what's working once we launch something? Again, we don't want to find out a month afterwards that we weren't able to effectively respond to our marketing campaign or our launch. The second question is, how are we going to engage? I'll say a guidance for the end is that one of the best things that you can start with in social, not only internal collaboration, but is listening. The riskiest piece is once you choose to engage. Once you choose to engage, if you disengage, then that's almost as bad as not never engaging in the first place. So your community expects, once you have a voice in a channel, that you have time, resources, and budget and others to focus on those different communities to engage. But again, it's critically important that we identify who's saying what and how do we engage those social influencers, those customers, or other analysts and folks. What are the key influencers saying? And then how can we change the programs to maximize our impact? So let me go into a demonstration. So all of this stuff is live data. Typically, we do, in our marketing efforts, we identify a day after and a week after of the results of the launch. This example up here, I've identified some Twitter hashtags, and sometimes I'll do some Twitter handles as well. The MS-Dyne CRM is our hashtag for Microsoft Dynamics CRM. The MS-Dyne.com is our community. So there's over 10,000 community members, over 10,000 CRM followers. FAE was a date when we launched our next service update that will be delivered in December, fall analyst event. We bring all of our analysts, social influencers in one time a year. And we use that as our platform to launch our new service. So we announced it on that date. So that's why it was important for me to follow what the key influencers and analysts were saying about our release. And then CRM 2011 is just a grassroots hashtag that came about when we launched our January 2011 service. So we also monitor that as well. And again, as we've mentioned several times, this is a free tool. We'll provide a link at the end so you can see it. What you'll see here is the tweets by day, and you'll see that November 1st was the day that we announced, and we did it at 6 a.m. So you can find out rich information about what's happening at various times of the day. And this can be important as you choose to decide to do different events in different regions around the world, if there are a particular region or particular times of day that there's a lot of activity. And so you can even hold your messages for certain times of day, if you so choose. You can also identify the tone, the tweet type. You have your different handles here that I identified. They're important. If I want to drill down on a specific hashtag, I click it and it'll change. All the other graphs will change along with it. So it's a very powerful tool. I use it every day after our launch, and our executive leadership team. It's funny, when we first started some of these social initiatives, I think originally there was some pushback from the executives, but they supported at least some investment in it and for us to go and build these blogs and whatnot and engage on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. Once they started to see the results, they were all on board. Now our executives are very social these days, but they weren't able to get the impact until we were able to provide this bits of data. Matter of fact, we even saw a greater impact on our latest release than we did on that 2011 release, where we spent three times the amount of money to do these type of roadshows and big events. So you can have more impact digitally, but you need a way to be able to get the data in order to share with them the results. And again, you'll see more information here. Here's some more shameless self-promotion. That's my Twitter handle. You can get various bits of information and drill down. You can identify specific things around specific people. And this is important, where I mentioned before, with social influencers, or it could be partners within your ecosystem. that you weren't aware of that are out there driving a lot of noise, a lot of retweets, and just a lot of impact on the things that they say about your brand, service, product, or campaign. After the first time we launched in our rapid cadence, we identified, where I mentioned we had 15 originally, and then we identified, 60 to 80 different folks. It was because of these type of tools that told me who was driving the most traffic to our sites. So once I was able to identify them, I reached them and pulled them into that inner circle of folks that we were going to pre-brief, so they had the information they felt special about their role within our business. And then you can also identify, it's not only important to identify your biggest advocates, also your biggest detractors and negative sentiment. So you can also identify sentiment, you can identify tone, you can identify, and you can also modify the tone dictionary when it comes to tone and sentiment. So you can go in here and make modifications. You can also go into the actual tweets, right? So if you, all of these will change as you click on certain things. So if I want to go in there and there's some negative things, I can identify who it is and what they're actually saying about us. And it'll tell you how many times they were mentioned in the hashtag, so you can see the impact of those. So I'd really encourage you to go out, give it a try. It's a great tool. I'll continue to use it. And we look to invest further in these type of solutions in the future. So after we run those reports, this is actually a real report that I provided to the executives now. So every month we have a meeting with the leadership team, and we walk them through what the results of leveraging our social techniques are. So there's digital views or views of our top videos, like the videos many of you saw walking in here. That's a new video that we had for our December 2012 service update. Don't worry about the prime. Many of you, if you're not in marketing, there's ways that you can measure your impact through message pickup and your prime score. A 125 is a good prime score, so 155 is very good. You'll also see total placements. The blog posts and total placements, these are referencing our key analysts and press that we cover, how many of them actually talked about our posts. And there's some examples here of the impact that we made. We also drove a twofold increase into our trial. That's something that we measure heavily, which is how many people hit our site, then how many people go to trial and try out our solution. And again, these are just a few more. You can go ahead to the next one. So Ruben kind of walked you through already, kind of the four things to think of when starting your social initiatives. You can go ahead and build it all out if you wouldn't mind, Ruben. Thanks. Here's one more. So if you're an IT pro in the room, I know I'm talking from a marketing perspective, but one of the things that IT folks can really help marketers and salespeople that leverage social information is add structure around their social initiatives. Marketing people are really great at going out and just doing whatever they can to engage customers or amplify their news, and they'll grab whatever tool they can. But they need more rigor and planning around the data that they capture and how they want to measure it, year over year, and what they're going to do with that information. So I think it's important that every marketer out there at any one of your companies, I can guarantee if you don't think they're doing social, they are in some capacity today. Ruben already mentioned it's critical to identify what those business requirements are and what the line of business owners need and how they want to get started. Gain executive sponsorship, Ruben already mentioned that, but I'll just tell you just firsthand experience. There was a lot of pushback in the beginning to financially get dollars to support it, but once they identified it was actually going to be a 3x savings not to launch products the old way, they were a lot more interested in it. And then once they started seeing the results, they started amping up the investments and different ways that we could make an impact socially. And then have a single success owner. I've also seen social initiatives squashed solely by bureaucracy or there was too many owners, so there was no owner. So identifying specific owners of certain initiatives is critically important. Ruben mentioned start simple and gain some wins. Internal collaboration, social listening on the social sites, that you can do that for free today. And you can identify insights. You don't have to necessarily yet engage if you're not structured in a way to be able to support that. But that's something you can start today. And it's very risk adverse. And then set benchmarks. This is important if you're going to then post, you want to show progress that you're making. Use tools like analytics for Twitter or other tools that be able to measure how many, what impact you're actually having that drive to whatever objectives you have. And I already mentioned socialize your results with executive sponsors. The last one, I'll just say that as you've seen today, there are a lot of different tools and assets Microsoft has to be able to play a role within your social initiative. I just asked to work with Microsoft as a partner and our partners to identify what are those your objectives and what you're trying to accomplish with it, because we have a lot of tools that we can help support that today, and it's certainly with CRM for sales, service, and marketing professionals. These are some of the useful resources that you can access today. One thing that's not up there that I've mentioned several times is our CRM Connection blog. If you are interested in learning more about CRM, we have our website, which is identified at the top, and our CRM Connection blog hangs off that as well, and we'll make sure that these are posted. And then the analytics for Twitter, Fuse Lab, Social Connector, all the things that Ruben mentioned, and then the Yammer link is to learn more about the Yammer news and integration.
Cool. So that concludes. We've got sort of 5 minutes for questions. I think the best idea is we'll just stay up the front. If you've got any questions, come through. Hope it's been useful. Please rate us well. We get fired if we do badly. Seriously. And enjoy the rest of the